I'm Greg Peterson. I'm the Executive Director of the Colorado Ag Water Alliance. We're committed to supporting and preserving irrigated ag in Colorado. Right now, you're listening to a series of interviews and presentations on water issues and agriculture throughout the state. Today, I'm with former Justice of the Colorado Supreme Court, Greg Hobbs, and we'll be discussing in-stream flow rights and how they interact with all other water rights, specifically agriculture. Thank you, Justice Hobbs, for coming today. We really appreciate your time.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you. Hope I can help.
All right. Well, just before we get started, I need some free legal advice. I have a water right, been using it for a few decades. There's a junior in-stream flow right. It's threatening my water use. What can I do?
Well, first of all, I'm not going to be able to answer those legal questions today in this interview. I'm serving as a senior water judge for the Colorado courts, and I am bound by the judicial code of conduct, so I can't give legal advice. And of course, legal advice basically comes from an attorney who's practicing law, which I don't. So I would expect we're going to go ahead and talk about the purpose and background and the law of in-stream flow, which I'm perfectly free to do, and I'll try to answer the questions, but I cannot give legal advice.
Perfect. Well, thank you. Just wanted to make that clear to our listeners if they're wondering why I can't ask certain questions and where we, and so if you're ready to begin, let's get started. So
let's go.
All right. So the state of Colorado has had an in-stream flow program for decades. Can we just start with a brief overview before we really dig in? And what is an in-stream flow right? And who can establish one of these rights?
Well, interestingly enough, it started this program by legislation introduced by Senator Fred Anderson of Loveland, a noted person, a champion of agriculture. And it was at the outset of the environmental decade, and there were plenty of efforts on the federal level, particularly through the Clean Water Act, perhaps to impose in-stream flow in Colorado. And Fred Anderson and his colleagues, and the colleagues were brilliant people. They included Hank Brown, who went on to become a congressman and a senator after serving in the Colorado House of Representatives, and Dick Lamb, a three-term governor. So they wanted to slot into Colorado's prior appropriation system a spot for an in-stream flow water right, which is a junior right to all senior rights. And it was basically so that Colorado could have its own program. And this was assigned to the Colorado Water Conservation Board to appropriate in-stream flow rights to be that way Colorado would react within its water rights doctrine to this pressure for in-stream flow.
Okay. And so you'd mentioned the environmental decade and the Clean Water Act. And so back in really 1970s, 1973, is the state enacted its in-stream flow statute. Was there anything else that led to this effort?
Well, basically the EPA, both nationally and regionally, had proposed using the Water Quality Standards Program under the Clean Water Act to impose in-stream flow on Colorado. Mm-hmm. And the legislators, you know, that is not their favorite approach. We're a prior appropriation state. Mm-hmm. Under the Colorado Constitution, the water is always owned by the public, subject to beneficial use. And so that beneficial use includes agriculture, of course, and municipal, and many other kinds of appropriations can be made. But the point is, the Colorado legislators did not want a preemption of any regulatory agency or program of the federal level being an in-stream flow mandatory mechanism. So, you know, consistent with our Constitution of 1876, water has to be available for appropriation. There has to be water available for the Colorado Water Conservation Board in-stream flow right, or it can't get one.
All right. And you mentioned, I mean, we are a prior appropriation state and our constitution regulates water use by requiring diversions for irrigation, municipal or industrial uses. And the right to maintain a flow in a stream, at first it was considered a riparian right because you're not diverting water. And it seems, and it seemed not consistent with the doctrine of prior appropriation. So how do these rights fit within our prior appropriation doctrine?
Well, the legislature was very careful about this to make sure that the water rights for in-stream flow had to be in priority to preserve the environment or improve the environment to a reasonable degree. So there had to be some need shown. The Water Conservation Board was a trusted agency. It also had to make sure that interstate compacts were honored and that the prior appropriation system was honored. So this case did go before the Colorado Supreme Court because the statute basically gave the Water Conservation Board this authority. The Colorado Supreme Court decided that you don't have to have a diversion from the stream, that the legislature had defined in-stream flow as a beneficial use and could legally do that under Colorado law. So a very interesting, very special program. Nobody else is allowed to appropriate an in-stream flow. And the board has to go through a lengthy study process and then has to eventually make a court filing and it has to prove that it's not injuring any other water right.
Well, I was curious, you mentioned that no other state has done that. We might be jumping down a rabbit hole here, but why do you think that that has taken place in Colorado and not in other Western states with the prior appropriation system?
Well, other Western states, for instance, California has different kind of a doctrine. They have riparian as well as prior appropriation, and they have something called the public trust doctrine. And the public trust doctrine under a California Supreme Court decision allows the state to impose minimum stream flows for preservation of fish, regardless of the date of the water right. So each state under the federal union has the ability to adopt its own water law. Mm-hmm. So Colorado made this program. It was the first in-stream flow program, and it's still basically a very viable, unique program where the legislature decided to slot this into the prior appropriation system. And the Colorado Supreme Court said, okay, the Constitution doesn't require a diversion from the stream. Most water rights do divert from the stream, but this particular one, this unique one for the environment, can be an in-stream flow between an upstream point and a downstream point, okay, to preserve the environment. And the Water Conservation Board has to make studies that generally fish life, insects supporting a fish, the habitat through which the stream flows is all taken into account, and there's an administrative process for any concerned water user to weigh in on whether or not the board ought to appropriate a stream flow in the first place, and then how much it should be. And then it has to go to court to get adjudicated.
We are going to take a quick break, and then I'll be back with Justice Greg Hobbs and our discussion on in-stream flow rights. We are back. This is Greg Peterson with the Colorado Ag Water Alliance, speaking with Justice Greg Hobbs on in-stream flow rights. So, yeah, you started getting into my next question here of the process of a new in-stream flow right, that it's first marked from point A to point B on the reach of a stream, and there are studies, and there's this process. And so, how long is this process? Where do these suggestions for a new in-stream flow right come from, and what is it the job of the CWCB?
Well, the staff goes out and looks at a particular stream segment, determines whether or not it's suitable for this program, and then makes a recommendation to the Water Conservation Board, and the Water Conservation Board takes a comment about, you know, whether or not it ought to appropriate an in-stream flow in the first place. Secondly, how much it ought to be. And then it's not until that time that the board, which represents Coloradans on a wide geographic process, as you know, this appointed board is not full-time state agency. They come from different parts of the state, and they have a responsibility to make sure that their filing for an in-stream flow right is correct under the law and is needed for preservation of the environment, and that there's a water available for the in-stream flow that is not going to injure any other water right. So it's a lengthy process, and it's a public process.
And so you mentioned if there's water available, I mean, what if we're in an over-appropriated basin or a highly appropriated basin? How do they determine if there is water available?
Well, they study it, and if there is water being drawn to a downstream point, then the water flowing through that stretch can be appropriated for the in-stream flow, because you see it's not injuring a downstream water right. It's not going to injure any other water right. So in the high mountain streams, there's water available way high up, but as the stream goes down, the appropriation system is going to determine what water rights have to flow through what reaches. So the board has to make a very careful determination that that this water is available to preserve that habitat in that reach, okay? And it doesn't disturb any pre-existing adjudicated water right.
Well, in our water law system, we contest water rights, we file injury on other people's water rights. Can a proposed in-stream flow right be contested? And why would someone want to contest one of these rights?
Well, I mean, if they fear that they will be injured, they can show the Water Conservation Board that there will be injury. And then that one would not be suitable for an in-stream flow designation. So yes, it's an open public process, and it's set up within the prior appropriation system very deliberately so that it doesn't injure adjudicated water rights that are in place, and it's, well, it's the legislature has constantly nursed this program. As you know, senior agricultural water rights are among the most valuable water rights in Colorado because of their priority dates. And the legislature has even enacted additional legislation this year that allows senior water rights to lease their water temporarily. Of course, they can also sell it or contract it to the board on a more permanent basis. But agricultural interests are pretty sophisticated in this state, and they in fact have supported this program for many years. Of course, the fear is that the federal government will try to use regulations and preempt this system.
Well, so I want to go back and talk about, I think, 1981, the General Assembly. They had promulgated some legislation about in-stream flow rights and subjecting them to existing uses and practices on the stream, whether or not they were previously decreed. And if I'm correct, you were involved in this process. And what was the outcome of
certainly was. I represented the Northern Colorado Water Conservancy District from 1979 until I was appointed to the court in 1996. So the legislature wanted to be sure that there was an exchange already in the reach here and it would be interfered with by a new appropriation, that the exchange would be honored. In fact, a piece of legislation passed this year again allows the state engineer to make sure that prior administratively approved exchanges are recognized and honored in this appropriation of the in-stream flow. So that's House Bill 20 Dash 1159 enacted by this session of the Colorado Legislature, and the state engineer has authority to confirm whether or not there is a pre-existing exchange that has operated in that reach. And if there is, then the in-stream flow either is not made or is made subject, in-stream flow rate is made subject to that exchange.
And so if there is a pre-existing use, probably records, keeping records is the key to determining that, correct?
Well, of course, you know, there's a statute that allows people to adjudicate their exchanges, or they can get it administratively approved. And in either case, you know, there is a record. And generally, of course, this new legislation says that the state engineer, which is the enforcer of all water rights in Colorado, can verify whether or not there was an approved exchange there in place. So it didn't have to be adjudicated, but it had to be approved and in place. Okay. And now there's a verification process for sure, where the General Assembly has said, state engineer, you look at any one of these claimed administratively approved exchanges, and then if it exists, then the in-stream flow water right is subject to it.
But it would be safe to say that any kind of diversion record or documentation holds a lot more water, sorry for the pun, than just me saying, oh yeah, we've been doing this for decades.
Well, no, you know, yes, the Constitution allows beneficial use, but beneficial use is the basis and measure and extent of the water rights. So, you know, our state engineers, basically through the water commissioners who are on the ground, have records that go back decades and decades and a century or more, because we've had a state engineer since 1881, and the water commissioners actually were put in place in 1879. So, yes, you have to keep records and measure your water anymore, because it's such a critical resource. It is the most critical resource in Colorado. So yes, and it always behooves the ditch companies, the water right users, the municipalities to keep records of their diversions and their use, and well, not just rely on water commissioners.
We need to take one more quick break and then we'll be back. This is Greg Peterson with the Colorado Ag Water Alliance, and we're continuing our discussion with Justice Greg Hobbs on in-stream flow rights. Well, and so what if I do have a water right decree, but I don't keep records, and what if I don't even have a flume on my head gate, but I have my decree, and this decree is 100 years old, and there's some junior in-stream flow right, why would I be called out?
Well, you know, because the state engineer has to administer the decrees, right? Mm-hmm. And they do records. So, and you do have to measure now. You know, generally, measurement is not only in the best interest of the water user to prove that they've used the water, but it's now required because we're basically over-appropriated in most of our river basins. And of course, droughts, the call system goes on, and only the very senior rights get honored, because the junior rights have to be cut back. So, you know, there's nobody more familiar with this system than the agricultural water users. I mean, agriculture accounts for about 85% of the diversions and use in Colorado. It's a huge driver of our economy and our way of life. All the other sectors of water use, you know, take up the other 15%, and the in-stream flow piece of it is just a minor fraction.
And you mentioned this a few times about how back in the 1970s and in 1980s, that part of this program, it seems to be that the thinking has been to support and incorporate this program to preempt any federal involvement. Is that correct? Is that a feeling or that has been around in the state for some time, and that has been a part of this and an impetus for this?
Ever since the law was first enacted in 1973.
Okay.
And you know, so there is a market for agricultural water, you know, by loan by contract or actually by sale to get this water for this in-stream flow program. And you know there's an organization called the Colorado Water Trust, and they're a nonprofit organization that helps to put together, basically using agriculture water made available by the irrigators themselves to help the streams that are in need, particularly in these drought situations.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also mentioned that now there's more options to lease water, or perhaps if you are in a year where your ag operation and you might benefit you financially to do that. Is that correct?
Well, that's absolutely correct. And then that's been addressed by the General Assembly this year in House Bill 20-1157. And the very start of the title is, the owner may loan agricultural water right to the Water Conservation Board for in-stream flows. And then it requires the Water Conservation Board to go through a rulemaking process. In fact, there are proposed rules that have just been put out, I think, for public comment, and I'm sure that many agricultural users and their organizations will probably take a look at the commenting. But yes, there's an active market for senior agriculture water in this water rights program, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and the legislators are very attentive to this. This time and time again, they have supported keeping prior adjudicated water rights honored, and then also providing this flexibility to use agricultural water to citizens don't understand it when streams get dried up. Correct? I mean,
yes.
You know, and then ag, everybody else that does that gets a really bad name, and then you hear the threat again about, well, the federal Congress needs to do something about this, or the EPA needs to do something about this. So this program has served extremely well for a long time and gives agricultural users another way to keep their water right, but get some income from loaning it.
Okay. And you can't give me any insight on the prices for that loan process, can you?
Well, you know, water is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, so there's some negotiation there about what the price of those loans are going to be.
Okay.
But lots of times agriculture has cooperated with this because, mm-hmm. you know, they like this healthy economy in Colorado, and a lot of Coloradans, you know, they're fishermen. They aren't necessarily environmentalists, but they may be. But the point is that Colorado has an answer to this fact that, you know, we just don't dry up our streams, and we have a responsible state agency, a respected state agency, the Water Conservation Board, that shepherds this and has to make the decisions, all right? And then when it comes to loans, the state engineer may approve these loans, but has to be sure it doesn't injure any other water rights. So it comes back to the same system of honoring a state that wants water rights, including water rights for in-stream flow, adjudicated so that their priority can be figured out and their amount and where they are, you know?
Well, unless if you have any last remarks, Justice Hobbs, I really want to thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it. Our organization appreciates it. And I'm sure our listeners appreciate it too.
Well, I'm just delighted, and you know, I just have to say that, you know, when I think about the land and water trusts that exist in this state and don't disrupt anybody else, but in fact preserve some of this great cattle ranching economy that we have, that those conservation easements protect the values which the families that want to preserve those great irrigated open spaces can do so. So there's another example here of where there is cooperation without conflict.
All right. All right. Well, thank you again, Justice Hobbs, and thank you everybody for listening.